This is the Tabernacle Podcast with Brandon and Gabe.
I just wanted to like let you hang there for a second.
Brandon and Gabrielle. Yes. Returners. We've only had a few returners.
Ooh,
we're super fired up. Missionaries, serving abroad, Tabernacle family. We consider you family.
Yeah, us too.
And if you have not gone into the deep cuts in the podcast, Brandon and Gabe were on podcast 67, and they were on their way to Thailand, right? Or had you already been there?
I'm trying to remember.
We've
been
there
and we're getting established.
Okay. Yeah, the first
blip
back after like 9 months or so. So we were...
That's right.
Just so getting
it
our
was,
feet wet.
It was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You'd been there once and you'd come back. And so this is an opportunity to just kind of catch up with you guys. And you're serving based in Chiang Mai, Thailand with, and can I say this?
Sure.
Right? I'm going to say the whole name because you love this name so much, right? Asia Biblical Theological Seminary.
Yes.
So a wing of Cornerstone University.
Yes.
It sounds like the subtitle.
Big old mouthful. There it is.
For our ESL students, that English is a second language. It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. Yeah.
So we are serving there. Absolutely. You can share that.
Of course. So I just did. So, but I mean, it's just such a long title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not exactly clickbait. Asia, biblical, theological. Mm. So, you know what else isn't clickbait?
Mm.
I was just looking right here on this little site that highlights Brandon, and we know you guys are a package deal, and you guys are a force of nature. I love it, right? In so many ways, my spirit animals on the mission field. But what I was saying during the intro, bro, you got way too many like initials behind your name.
Well, I wonder what you're going to say.
MDiv, BS. You got 3 degrees? Yes, undergrads. The whole deal? College. She got 4 degrees.
It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. Did you see how my wife still just took this away from me? Because I'm still an ADD child that will just play with it. And it was clinking on the table.
It was. I was like, what is that noise?
What is that noise?
Water.
That's why she's here. That's why she's here.
Yeah.
To keep
to
me
manage,
humble.
Manage the situation.
Oh. All right. I'm
back
so
to your degrees, sir.
Yeah. So you have a ton of degrees and you are primarily, just tell us primarily what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
So let's start there.
I'll give a little general, maybe what the school is doing, and then I'll tell you what we're doing, if that's okay. Can I expand on it?
Okay. Sure.
I don't want to be greedy with the time.
Yeah, no. Go.
So we are a third branch of Cornerstone University. And so most people don't know that. It's not really talked about or publicized, but Cornerstone has their seminary, their undergraduate, and then they have Asia Biblical Theological Seminary of Cornerstone University, the mouthful you were talking about.
Nice.
So we are in Chiang Mai, Thailand, but we kind of consider ourselves like seminary in a briefcase. So we go wherever education is unaffordable or inaccessible. So we go to refugee camps. We go to India, Cambodia, Papua New Guinea, the Philippines, just all over the place.
Some places you can't name.
There are a lot that I'm not naming, yes. Yeah. And there's more than just that. Thailand, obviously, as well. Myanmar, that's been in a civil war for the last 70 plus years. Just incredible places, incredible people. But there's a huge, the word that's often used, like theological famine, but there's just not opportunities for some of the same degree programs. And so we commit that if there's a group of students that are 15 to 25, I think roughly is the size, if they will commit to the full program, we'll commit to flying the professors to them. They never have to leave their hometown.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And we subsidize based on where they're at to make it affordable for them. So it's still stretching, but most of them pay between $1 and $30 a credit hour for the same degree that costs $700 and
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I know how much it costs here.
Yeah. Yeah. But 700 is probably outdated. Yeah. I can't even imagine after inflation.
Yeah. So, but here we can do that.
We can.
And and so essentially we're talking about pastors, ministry staff, people that are in some sort of Christian ministry that not only can they not afford it, but they may not be able to even go or get out of wherever they are. So the obstacles are just huge. And so this is an awesome ministry, and this is one of the reasons we're behind it. If you're part of our TAB family and you're trying to remember, okay, who are Brandon and Gabe? This is the legend of Brandon and Gabe here, right? Ooh. Is a couple years ago. No. This is a legend.
We have some people that are, I'm
No. It was years ago. We had the opportunity to send a Christmas gift, and we wanted to make sure that you used it for just you, for joy. It's Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of our Lord, and you've got these awesome daughters who are, how old are they now?
5 and 7 now.
5 and 7. Which one's 5? Which one's 7?
Noelle is 5. Addie just turned 7 yesterday.
Okay. So.
And they were, at the time of this, girls, they were like
1 and 3.
Half.
Yes.
1 and 3 when we moved there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the return like message we got from you that we showed in church and they applauded in all of the services was, hey, Tabernacle family, we're over here in Thailand. It's smoky season, da, 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 da. And it was a thank you, which we didn't even expect, right? But it was those girls bouncing on a trampoline that you had bought a trampoline with. And I was like, yes, because I was a missionary kid. And I was like, good. It wasn't, we bought them new shoes so they could walk to school uphill both ways.
It's so hot in Thailand.
Exactly, right. Like so it was just, people love that. So it's like, you know. Within the church, it's like, who are Brandon and Gabby? Because, you know, it isn't that
trampoline people.
Yeah. I mean, if they're not on the prayer team and they're not on the missions team, it's kind of like, yeah, the trampoline family. Yes. You know, so,
I still remember because I remember, like, the joy on their faces in the video. We had to capture it because they were jumping up and down.
Birthday or best Christmas present ever.
Yeah.
And we were like, send that video.
Yes.
That's the video.
And Pastor Tim, our associate pastor, who you guys are going to lunch with, He is moved by stuff like that because he grew up as a pastor's kid and reformed. And so he's always like, when the kids are running after church in the church, he's like, let them run. Mm-hmm. Let them run. Let them tear it up. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We're not have plastic on the furniture. This is God's house. Let them run.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. When he was moved by that. Mm-hmm. He was deeply moved by that. He's like, I like these people, you know, and those types of things are always near and dear to all of our hearts.
Well, so, you know this, I think, but if not, it'd be good for everyone else to know too. When you guys sent that gift and you said, use this money for something for the kids, for your family, that's not necessarily ministry related, but something that would just bless the family. Gabe, do you remember, like, I remember exactly where we were when we got that. And I remember her bursting into tears and
Gabe
just feeling
cry.
Yeah, it was.
She doesn't all the time.
I don't. Yeah. No, but I think it's...
Scene.
Yeah, it's just a matter of like, whenever you're getting ready to do something,
talk about that. Yeah,
it's big.
No, this is good. Yeah,
making a decision to move overseas, and sometimes the decision is easier than, or more impactful than the dominoes that have to fall after that. Of like, okay, but logistically, I'm selling things that I love and making adjustments that I would otherwise not be comfortable making, which is part of it. But sometimes those things that were sensitive for me was like, what's it going to be for my girls? Are they going to feel, I don't know, are they going to miss out on things that they would have a clear opportunity to do in West Michigan? Are they going to feel different? Are they never going to fit in? Are they not going to find their place? There's just the things that are spinning in the beginning. And thankfully now, maybe we can even like talk about an answer later because those have just been abundantly met, and it has not been that.
That's awesome.
But in the beginning, you have the, I had those questions. It was all the mom questions. And so even just you guys being like, not only do we see you and support you, and we just felt when we visited, like, we really like these people. We really connect and feel known. But our girls weren't here. And so getting something that was like, this is for them, just for you guys to like feel loved and to go above and beyond in such a way that was like, oh my gosh, they get it. They not only are they supportive of us and the ministry that we're doing, but like they want to love us as a family and they love the things that I love. They love my kids. And so when we heard that, it was like, I just burst into tears and was like, these people just were blown away by that.
Well,
so
it was so fun to be a part of. And and I'm celebrating right now because the message was heard. And that was, and maybe some of it is the fact that our leadership, we were pastor's kids. I was a pastor kid and a missionary kid, but that was the heart behind it. Is so here, you know, on the Asia Biblical Theological Seminary branch of Cornerstone University, this wonderful picture of your beautiful face. Well, hey, man, he might be great at counseling and theological stuff, marketing, not so much. But so it highlights you, but we understand that you're one flesh. Yeah. And so when you go, you go. And it isn't just you teaching. I thought in our when we were upstairs when you guys first came in, you talked about teaching as well.
I've stepped in from time to time. I don't usually in the day-to-day, like at ABTS, if he's doing a class there, it's we haven't had the opportunity really to do like a long-term class together. He's been doing like online or hybrid. When we've gone places, though, it's a short-term context. And so he's had the full length of the class, but he has like a week and a half in person or something. Mm. And I've had an opportunity a couple times now to come alongside and teach portions of that.
That's awesome.
We've done together before as a teaching, as a course that we did at our home church. And so I'm kind of familiar with it, and I've sat in it, and I've taught it. And so doing that alongside him a couple different times.
That's all. And what a beautiful picture for the people you're serving with. For them to see that, a husband and wife team.
Most of the time. Yeah.
So it just brings them down.
We're always talking about marriage.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've experienced this, but anytime we talk about marriage, it's like we're walking, like everything's great. And 15 minutes before, something's going to flare up right here.
Oh my gosh.
It always happens.
Yeah.
It does. I just did a marriage.
Just keeps it real.
Got asked to do a marriage retreat. And it's like, I won't go into the details because she'll kill me, but like 5 days before I'm deep in the prep, I'm like, I'm not qualified to do this.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I don't understand this mysterious person I'm married to.
Yes. Let 100%. Us come talk to you about marriage. Oh, we're like, ours is imploding at this moment.
We just bring it. Yeah. We're just like, guys, we fought the whole way walking to this session.
Yes.
And so this is what the fight is, and now we're going to just solve it right here.
Yeah.
So
that's, you guys get
a part of it.
Lucky you. You get to have a front row seat to this mess.
Oh, front row seat to this hot mess. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
It always ends with me. So, I did something wrong there.
That's well played,
yes.
sir.
Yes.
I don't know if
he's learned. Case, we've done this several times now. So
I tweaked a little something in our maybe. More. All right, we're about to
not
go
what
there.
Happened.
No, we're about
not
to go
what happened.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's fine. Here, yeah.
Some
he,
of our prep.
He decided
so
she's
like,
to.
I'm, no, I'm flying blind. We're going up there in like 5 minutes, and I don't know what was changed. What wasn't?
We've learned that we just prep super differently. Mm-hmm. So we had prepped prior, and then he prepped his own way. And then was like, oh, by the way, I added like 8 pages just here and there. I was like, oh, that won't adjust my cues at all. So that's fine.
So sounds good. So my wife solves it by just saying, I'm never standing on a platform with you with a microphone, period. She'll sit in the back and hold up a yellow card or like a red card, you know, or say,
or
that
just
never
like scores.
Happened.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly. Nope. But that's all you get out of her. So.
I could feel at one point in there, I was like, did you guys just hear that? And, do you remember this?
Yes.
She does. I was like, that was the sound of any respect you guys had for me just flying out
just
the window.
Flying out the window.
They jumped in and they were like, Team Gabe.
Sure.
I'm definitely Team Gabe.
Yeah.
So right now you're currently, you're home on a leave, a little vacation. Yeah. You talked about golf elbow.
Oh.
So you're playing some golf.
Oh, that's
zero.
That's
zero
cute. It's just because he's old. There's no golf involved.
Oh, there's no golf involved.
No, it's like picking up a stuffed animal.
Sweetheart. Yes.
Hey, that's a
stuffy elbow. We got
but
it.
But you're getting some rest. The kids seeing grandparents. But you're based in Chiang Mai, right?
Yes.
We are based in Chiang Mai. Yeah. Which I think we mentioned this on podcast 67. Mm-hmm. Chiang Mai is strategically placed because it's within a 2-hour, if I remember this correctly, because I've been there 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. In my mission experience, that it's about a 2, no more than 3 hour flight from over half the world's population.
Yeah,
and it's in a nation that is relatively free as far as what you can share.
Very much.
Doing theological seminary training and studies, church, kind of the whole deal. And so from there, you've been branching out into a lot of different locations.
Yeah.
But personally, what has the last year and a half been like for you? Because I know there were some tough moments. There was a loss in your family. And these are all the things that, like, people that aren't missionaries. And by the way, we need more missionaries. I didn't know that. There's a shortage. Mm-hmm. Like, I was always like, oh, people have the internet. Mm-hmm. We don't need people to go. Nah, it's not true, John. Mm-hmm. Not at all. I got checked on that at the last event that I was at by a pastor in the know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if someone's listening that's thinking about this, and these are the reels, and I love you guys because you give us the reels. And so one of the fears is I'm all the way on the other side of the world. It's not halfway around the world. It's far away as you can get without going to space, right? Mm-hmm. And then life happens, and I don't want to dredge up a whole lot of stuff, but in your family in particular.
Yeah.
So you want to take us there?
Yeah. So
sorry
overall,
to give you no warning.
Yeah. He's like, here it is.
Yeah.
Fast pitch. I would say, on the whole, if we could look at what was the last year, I don't know who I was talking to, a friend when we got back here, and it was like, the first year was a year of like hitting constant obstacles and tripping over everything in sight, like walking through a dim room of a country and culture that you don't know well yet, and getting sick every other week, getting hit with everything under the sun for the first 9 months, just succinctly getting slammed with everything. Like the list, there's like head lice, knee surgery, bug flying into eyeball and stinging retina, food poisoning, no less than
pinworms.
10 times
we
each.
Even talk about what
pinworms
those are.
Disgusting. Don't look it up.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot.
I know about this.
The pinworms are so gross.
We sound like the dirty people right now.
We are not dirty humans.
No. You just to a third world or second world, third world?
I think it's technically second.
It's just Thailand.
Yeah. Anyways, the pinworms were holes. Anyways, that was the first year. It was like barrier after barrier. Second year was about, I think, putting down roots to some extent. So becoming more in, like forming a house church. Getting to know those people and have that network of relationships, work-wise, and he'll tell you more about that, but that's starting to get traction. So wheels, not just spinning, starting to understand culturally, and starting to have a real vision of where we're going. So getting traction, starting to move. The third year has been actual fruit because I was like, oh, the roots, that's the goal, right? And it's like, no, the fruit is such, it's the beautiful part of what we were supposed to be doing. And so fruit for him, work-wise, and then fruit for us relationship-wise. And it's not just having those relationships. It's just like, oh, man. It's been seeing our kids in their context, in school, flourishing and having this different side, this beautiful outgoing side of their personality that comes out because of school. And me having the freedom to be like, okay, my kids are going to school creatively and energetically, I have things I can give. I can do things. I want to contribute in some way. And so getting to explore that has been such a neat gift and has really like started to help me to explore what is my identity now, not just as a new mom, but now as a mom who is seeing her kids off to school and I'm becoming a new person too in that. And so it's been a beautiful year of like just like unfurling fruits in many ways. So it's been a really positive year. It's been really smooth sailing in a lot of ways, especially compared to the beginning with all the garbage. That said, the end of year two, a year ago exactly, almost, my dad passed away. We were in the Philippines at the time. We were doing a teaching in two different islands. So we were in the first spot, not an island, sorry, Manila.
It's an island.
It's all an island.
A very large one.
It's an island, I guess. So we were in Manila, and we found out that he had been kind of sick. He had had different issues, heart issues, and various things from time to time. And he went in for some extension of that. He was having breathing difficulties and this and that. Well, turns out 3 days later, we found out that he had cancer. And that was what was happening. That was what was causing some of the stuff, even though it had been ongoing for a long time in other capacities. So it just wasn't super clear. Found out that it was cancer. He passed away 6 days later.
Wow.
Like, and in those 6 days, we were told nothing for a long time. We were told nothing until we were told he might have 6 more months.
Wow.
And so we are in the Philippines trying to decide, I'm coming home. When am I coming home? And he was like, my dad was saying, I don't want you to come home. I don't want you to see me like this. Don't come home.
So the hospital's telling us, like, he's not in ICU. I don't know where you're getting this, like, that it's urgent.
I have no idea where
you're getting this information. We're like,
we didn't have any
sounds dire
clarity at all. And so we would call and talk to different people and get really different sides of the story. And I think about 3 days prior to him passing, it became clear what was happening. And so I booked a ticket. He ended up passing in the middle of the night, and I had an opportunity to talk to him
you got back in time.
I didn't get back in time.
Oh, not in time.
No, okay. I booked a ticket.
So like on the phone or something? Okay.
As soon as I could, trying to keep in mind that if there was 6 more months, I was like, well, I can't go and stay for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I have 2 small kids. And so I was trying to shoot it at the right time, you know. So I was trying to get there to be with my mom, but ideally to be with him for his path, like before it happened. Didn't get to do that, but I did get to talk to him. So he went from cognizant and with it to unable to speak in a matter of hours. And I talked to him before, and then I called him right before everything. And his nurse was kind enough. He was with hospice. His, mm-hmm. his hospice nurse woke him up and conveyed the message and was telling me play by play, like, wow. he's trying to respond to you. He can't. He's moving his hand. He's doing mm-hmm. this. And he's squeezing my hand. And, like, so I had this pretty cool opportunity just to tell him everything. Awesome. And we weren't that type of family typically. Like, we didn't mm-hmm. talk a lot about feelings. And I knew that I was super loved, but we didn't talk about that freely. Mm-hmm. So to get to do that was really special. Just, yeah. It was one of those things where it was like, God was like, say what you will.
Wow.
Say what you've always wanted to say. Say what you wish your relationship looked like, even if it doesn't, mm-hmm. never has. Be your side of the relationship, you know, and yeah. do what you wish had been done kind of this whole time. So it was kind of good and healthy in a way to like be like, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to be faithful to that. We didn't get to have the time together.
Right.
But he did pass that night in the middle of the night. And I got to then be with Brandon and the girls mm-hmm. for the next 24 hours until I flew out. And otherwise, it would have been, if I had taken off, I would have been in the air.
Yeah.
with strangers and by myself. And not with him, you know what I mean? So it worked
not
out in such a way.
Your dad or with Brandon.
Or with, yeah, I would have been by myself. So it was like, well, this happened in such a way that it was like, well, I got to talk to him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been there in time regardless. So
you're on your way back to Florida. I assume there a memorial service for your family.
Yeah.
And you're in the Philippines with two little girls. And the teacher and mom and dad, correct?
No.
No.
His parents were.
No. You're being mom.
Oh,
and
yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
You're a team. And yep. now one She's part of the out. Team. Yeah.
That
yeah.
was, we had agonized. Planned like a vacation part in the Philippines after our teaching. So that was the part he's like, well, should I continue that? And I was like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to Chiang Mai, sit
you
there.
You told me you wouldn't. You were so wise. Well, you were so wise.
It's true, though. But considering what it wasn't like a normal vacation that you would ever attempt with children. It was a remote island that we had gone to as a couple before, and it was like all about the snorkeling and diving. And for some reason, we even thought that would be a good idea with our small children, which it probably wouldn't have been with both of us. It would have been a disaster. That being said, I was like, you have the freedom to tap out because this is going to be a hot mess. I was already having nightmares about him going like snorkeling out in the open ocean with whale sharks, which the whale mm-hmm, sharks aren't the issue. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like, I don't have two swimming children. I have like one that just bobs around.
Not a strong swimmer.
Well, and then the other one that doesn't swim. Are we talking about the swimmer when I say
the
bobs?
Swimmer.
Yeah.
Not,
anyways,
not a strong swimmer.
Neither
yeah.
were strong swimmers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, the one is, he's going to be like managing two kids and one of them is totally going to slip out of her
yeah.
life vest.
Yeah.
And you know that I'm ADD and there's whale
yes.
sharks.
Yeah. right. No, and I was like, I was having these like nightmares about this, the open ocean and the two kids and Brandon. And anyways, I was like, you should just skip it. You should just like get an earlier flight and just go home and be safe and not die.
We make it sound really awful, like whale sharks and snorkeling yeah, yeah, and like, oh, this, I feel
it,
bad
it
for this guy.
It has the potential. It's like one of those things that people see on Instagram, like, oh my gosh, you saw whale sharks. What a magical experience. You're yeah. like, oh my gosh, it totally wasn't that at
it wasn't
all. It was very
all.
Cool.
I will say,
for a moment,
we got up at but, 3 a.m. and we got in a car to go see these whale sharks. Just me and the girls. I wake them up, get in a car with this guy that we don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy could be taking us anywhere.
Yeah.
Like my cell phone doesn't work. I'm like, I'm just trusting.
Yeah.
And then the roads are so curvy and he's like on a speed race. Like he is competing.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
They
yeah,
drive
time
that
is
way
money,
in
baby.
Every country like that mm-hmm. that I grew up in
100.
And have been to. They're just like
yeah.
F1
yeah.
drivers.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my daughter is throwing up, literally throwing up in the back seat. Like, I don't want to go. It's still dark out. What are we doing? We get there, we have to do like this big orientation where mm-hmm. people tell you all about the whale sharks and what you can and can't do and get you prepped and wash any sunscreen off, all that type of stuff. And then we get out in the water and my kids, like we hadn't covered this, but in the part where we were staying right by this little like hostel, all there is to do there is snorkel. And they got in the water and they were in the water for less than 3 minutes. And we saw a sea turtle, which I thought was incredible, but they got stung by jellyfish and they were out.
Not like big jellyfish, like tentacles, like little wimpy tentacles. But for them, they're like tag out.
I get it.
Yeah.
For like
it.
4 and 6, you're
yeah.
like, I don't want any part. And I was like, but isn't it worth it? And they're like, no,
it's
really
not
isn't.
Worth it at all.
So we got out there to the whale sharks and they got in the water and they just sobbed. I mean, these things are the size of school buses.
They're
if you
huge.
Haven't seen
they
them,
are.
Google
Wait,
what a whale
they
shark
sobbed
is.
Out of fear?
They, or sobbed I prepped them sure. with videos, and they it's
I think
so deep.
There was too much new input. They had life vests on that were, like, choking them. It's like the yeah. normal traditional yeah. ones. They're not used to that.
No,
they they're
have never used
deep,
a life jacket
deep water.
Before.
It's dark because yeah. it's so deep. And then these fish are
they're giant.
Freaking elephant sized.
Aren't
to
they
be
the
fair.
Largest creature in the sea?
Blue whales are.
They're the largest
blue whales
fish,
bigger.
Right? Okay.
But their mouth is like, it's like the same with some of the whales that they eat krill. You know what I
yes.
mean? So they don't
yeah.
eat anything
right.
substantial.
Right.
And they have like the.
I will show
bass.
You pictures. Maybe we can.
Oh,
I don't
no,
know
I've
if you
seen
can
them.
Put pictures.
Anyway,
the
they're just going into school.
But
yeah. as a fish.
They're really
yeah.
neat.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're really peaceful and docile. They're like big old manatees, essentially. But, you know, whatever. To a kid.
Do you have a GoPro?
I took my cell phone actually down
nice.
There, and I have some good video.
Some
I can
good
I can put it up. I don't know if it shows on there, but
oh, I'd love
it's amazing.
I have these yeah. pictures because I was like, oh man, my girls, like, it was my finest parenting moment. I'm like, they're really upset. So I put them on the boat, got them established, and I was like, well,
Dad's going in.
Dad's going in.
There's still whale sharks. Yeah. I'm going.
Of course, yeah. of course.
So,
yeah.
I swam around with them for
That's
quite a
awesome.
While, and then eventually the guy's like, you're done already? I was like, no.
I get the dad moment yeah. because when our kids were little, this was actually before Benjamin was born, we were on a snorkel fest in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. Not because of my personal salary, but because I have friends in high
yeah.
places that were like, bring your family.
I get it.
Out
we're
of
teaching
the Michigan
in the Philippines.
Yeah.
You would have never
yeah.
been
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
So we're at this place, and I can see these giant rays. I mean, they were giant.
Oh,
their wingspan was longer than
manta rays.
Yeah.
yeah.
And we're kind of on a sandbar, and they were coming in and out by the sandbar.
Oh, that's neat.
And I had my oldest, who was only about 8, and she was a pretty good swimmer, but I was like, we're going to swim. We're going to follow these rays. And she's like, Dad, I'm scared. Mm. And I'm like, okay, you stay right here because I'm going, right?
Yep.
You good? You
don't
good?
Let the wave
yeah,
wash
good.
You off.
Yeah.
Just
and when the
put.
Rays came by, I just dove right in the water. I didn't dive because I don't want to disturb them, but mm-hmm. eased into the water and were swimming right behind
oh,
them.
Oh, that's so neat.
And then I heard a splash. I heard a splash and I looked behind and she came.
Oh.
She changed her mind and came, right? So it was this beautiful moment
Proud
with my
moment,
oldest
yep.
daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the whole mom-dad thing, right? So we get back breathless. We're telling my wife, who's sunning on the beach with the little ones, or with Lily and Sophie, this is what we just did. Da, da, da. And she goes, are you crazy? Those things killed
Steve Irwin.
And I'm like, no, those were different. Those were Australian ones. Everything
those
were
ill-tempered
exactly.
rays.
Exactly. These are Bahama rays. They're not 100%. Australian ones. Yeah.
yep.
So you guys are separated. For not
yeah.
maritally separated.
Geographically.
Yeah.
Geographically.
And
for a full month, yeah.
And that was a tough decision to have to make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing you say is even with that, with the hard stuff that comes with life that God still provided, he provided for you, he provided for both of you. I
mm-hmm.
know, I'm sure that there was more throw up and more yeah. sleepless nights and trying to do both and
yeah,
the extra stuff.
But it was
and being
also
away from
such
her,
a sweet time of like, I got time with my daughters where I would have never had a month to just be a solo
mm-hmm.
dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really, I mean, it was super hard on them to not have Gabe, but I
yeah.
think that for me, I cherish that time.
Yeah.
It was hard.
I think there's, I mean.
It was hard.
Yeah, it was hard.
It was extremely hard. And then I think flying, I mean, good grief. I don't know. Leaving an Airbnb with my kids and husband there, mm-hmm. getting in an elevator, hopping in an Uber. That's not something mom ever wants to do.
Right.
And I didn't have a return ticket. You know, there wow. was no like, I just have to get 4 weeks, 3 weeks. I didn't have a ticket. I didn't know how long my mom would need me to be there. So that was like heart-wrenching. Like, getting in that elevator and leaving them and the girls just sobbing was like,
yeah.
all right. But
it ended up being so good, I will say, that we didn't all go because we agonized
oh,
over do
yeah.
we all go or not. But we thought that
no.
it would be, you'd be able to do a lot more of the logistical things that needed to be done.
We
right.
needed to get stuff done.
Yeah.
I needed to be a support. I didn't have the capacity, I didn't feel, to be mom and daughter if I wanted to daughter hard for a month.
That's a great way to put that.
And I didn't want the emotional angst for the girls to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's yeah. like they feel the loss. They're mm-hmm. hurting. Let them have some semblance of normalcy. And so we made that call, but it was good. I mean, I got to be there for my mom and got to be 100% in that capacity, which was beautiful and sweet and messy and all that stuff. And I stayed for a month, and Addie's birthday was, her 6th birthday was right in there during that time. And I think, I mean, I'm like the mom who like, we've looked up what we're going to cook for her birthday and all the what specific cake she wants. And I'm wrapping presents
Dad
far in advance.
The lamb cake. Just crushed it.
In fairness, he did do, he made it a lamb cake and it was cute. It was
in the shape of a lamb?
It was, yeah, so it was cupcakes.
Okay, all right,
it was cupcakes and he just iced them.
And decorated them. Nice. And you know
what?
So
they were kind of fluffy looking as it was.
I'm proud of it, but it's about 30% as good as what it would have been.
I think I might have giggled when I saw it, but it was like, it was,
it's a memory.
I don't know. It was cute. And like, and she loved it. She loved it. She brought it to school and like was so excited.
She was five turning six. She thought it was like
the
Mona Lisa. You know?
Yeah.
Well done, Dad. Come on.
He came through in like so many new ways. And I think for me, my thing was like, okay, I would freak out about missing any number of these things that I'm missing daily. And I'm missing them compounding. And for how long? I don't even know. There's not even an end date. And so for me, it was like, God, please turn off that side of the heart wrench because I can't handle that side too. I can only handle as much as I'm currently at capacity for. And I think that he did. I mean, I think it could have been so much worse. And so I look now and I'm like,
you saw their hair in the pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Every time she saw
their
hair.
Every time I got an update, I was like, what is happening with their hair? At one point, He sends a picture. There's a random like 12-year-old Filipino girl like helping her put her hair up because she was like, honey, no. Like,
yeah. So many people saw the girl's hair and
responded.
And so many.
It was like, so cute.
Girls would be like, can I just do their hair? And I'd be like, please, please.
Our neighbor, our 60-year-old neighbor would come over every morning, would wake up early and come over every morning to fix their hair before school because a few days she
I
saw how it was.
It was and every she, morning, I will say that.
She said it was her or Zinma, our house helper, would come over.
Wow.
And she's like, the days that Zinma couldn't come, I made sure to come over because she said, Gabe,
no, it wasn't happening.
The teacher, she'd walk into school and the teacher would be like,
this is a Thai national. She was like, Gabe, it was really bad.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I had it. I was like, I know because he'd send me pictures and I'd be like, oh, was Granny I there that day?
For those who can't see, for those who are listening, if you could see my hair, you would understand. I have not had to do my hair.
Oh my gosh.
Decades.
That's the best hair joke on this podcast we've just had.
I mean, my goodness, to suddenly have these girls with this long, beautiful hair. And then it was sandy and salty. Yeah. Oh.
So is this, I loved your description of the 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That first it was all about the obstacles and that word picture.
He was trying to get planted in the soil and it was rocky.
And it was like a dim room and you're kind of bouncing around.
Yeah.
And then year two, you're starting to get your feet underneath you. Mm-hmm. And somewhere between two and three is when your father passed away. So you're going through this, you know, traumatic thing for a family and for a daughter especially. Mm-hmm. And then you said in year three, you started to see the fruit. Let's talk about the fruit, what you can share with us, like how God has shown that to you or how you've seen that in people's lives.
So we went over there. I mean, man, there's my mind's bouncing with a million different ways to take this. But we went over there with a short-term, medium-term, and a long-term goal. The short-term goal was the seminary has been around for 40 years and has never been able to offer consistent counseling classes. I think they've offered intro to counseling twice over the course of those 40 years. So this is one request that the students continually ask. I mean, if we have students, I have students who regularly will tell me like the military has blown up the cell phone towers in their city and they fled to the into the forest.
Mm.
Like people in that kind of a situation where then you're a pastor and everyone is coming to you. It is wonderful to study theology and it is so helpful and so good. And I'm not minimizing that in any regard, but there is also this, like, I'm caring for people and I need to know what to do when everyone collectively is just elevated. And
this is real life counseling stuff.
Yeah. 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 Which is when you talk about earlier going into the marriage thing, saying I'm not equipped for this. Like, that's what I feel when I'm stepping into these like countries where they've had,
I think ongoing, you've talked about having ongoing and like collective trauma versus like, usually in the counseling room, or at least in many people's experience, including yours, it's been like this person has had a trauma in their past or several, but it's a past capacity. It's not an ongoing capacity, and it's also not necessarily collective.
Collective is the big piece. So we are created with mirror neurons, and so we regulate off of other people. Co-regulation is how human beings do a lot of their regulating. And so if you are in an agitated state, I'm going to pick up on that. And if I'm in one, you're going to pick up on it. And likewise, if you're agitated or I am and one of us is really calm, it helps to just help us regulate. We're designed that way. Babies regulate off of their parents all the time. But when you're in a country where everyone's nervous mm-hmm. system is just off the charts regulated, you're in trauma, how do you actually begin to help and to calm? And how do you become that kind of presence? Mm. And the problem is, a lot of times these pastors are pouring out and trying to do that for all these people, but no one is doing that for them.
Wow.
And so I'm finding a lot, like if I go teach somewhere, sometimes I get calls that are like, hey, this person wants to meet with you, this person. And then what I find out when I get in there is it's like, hey, I didn't want to tell you, but really this is counseling. Like I'm experiencing
a lot of
anxiety.
So you're teaching counseling and then you're counseling
yes.
the people you're teaching.
Or sometimes
or
just
you're
people
counseling
in the community.
On the side.
Other
yeah.
pastors
yeah.
in the community will reach out when they know that I'm coming in.
Wow. I'm learning right now. Mm-hmm. And I guess I never, like I was never aware, but it 100% makes sense. So if there are traumatic events that are going on in the country that I'm in,
yes.
and I'm surrounded by, like you said, these agitated people, so my state becomes agitated. Mm-hmm. And then if it comes closer, because now there are people within my church, whether it's a house church, whether it's whatever your community of believers looks like in some of these countries that are closed, and then I'm assuming if they've faced trauma as well, now it's yeah. getting a little bit closer. And then if it's someone in my family and me, you're just getting pummeled.
Bombarded.
They're just
mm-hmm.
pummeled.
Yeah.
So it elevates, you know, now I see why you said, hey, theological training is good. Mm-hmm. You've got it. And that's important. But this is the reals.
Yeah.
This is how we can help pastors care for other people, and then I assume how we can also care for them.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the fruit there is seeing more opportunities to do that.
I think it's
or more people trained as.
I mean,
as
it's
well.
All of the above. So last year I didn't have a break from teaching all year, which was really fun, but I didn't realize
no summer
that I was
vacation.
So we do quarters.
Yeah,
and so mm-hmm. what happens is we do like 13 weeks we're teaching, and then we have 1 week that the students get a break, but I have to grade and yeah. prepare the next course, and then the next course launches.
Oh,
and then we taught at several conferences mm-hmm. on top of that. And so it's just like, there's a huge need, and I'm trying to cap my classes, but people keep sliding underneath the gate.
Yeah.
And like, so some of them are really big where I get audit students and they do all the work, which is wonderful. But then I commit that I'll grade all of their stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the hunger. I see the growth in many mm-hmm. of them. I see them reaching out with saying like, my parenting has changed. My relationships with my kids are just different. The type of ministry that I'm doing is different. Or like they share stories of like, oh, last week I counseled this person and now they won't talk to me. And then I just listen to this topic that we're discussing in class. And now I'm like, oh, that's why. I get it. I get what I did. And so they're seeing like changes.
Wow.
Because in a lot of these countries, what happens is you have the expectation that when you're the pastor, you have all the answers.
Yeah.
So when I talk
show
about
me the
marriage,
Bible verse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I talk about marriage retreats and I said, we get up there and we just like lead with the fact that we were fighting. My students have told me before, like we could never do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Not in Asia.
Never. Because we are expected to be the one who has it all figured out. And if we don't, then people are dissatisfied. They'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be figuring it out with them.
So they just keep wearing a mask.
They keep wearing
yeah.
a mask.
I mean, mm-hmm. that's like language of our church, but the church mm-hmm. at large in the
yeah.
States is we talk about the mask that we wear. I just talked about in a sermon, mm-hmm. I think last week, is we wear these
yeah.
masks behind, I'm fine,
yep.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and really I'm not fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fought with my wife, fought with the kids, just, you know, mm-hmm. drug them in here. And this
yeah.
authenticity is critical, especially in counseling, and you'll never
yes.
get
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
In Asian culture, what is what I'm hearing you say, it's a little bit more closed.
Yeah. There's,
yeah.
there's a little
goes.
Bit more of the expectation that's on the pastor is even more. So here, like in Michigan, you have an expectation. If you guys don't know that, most pastors feel that expectation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got the guilt chain hard.
Yes. There it is even more so that you're expected to be perfect, the exemplar, the example mm-hmm. for everyone to follow. And so they can't really let that mask down. And it's not just them like wanting to keep it up. Some people do that. They want to hide that way. And some people feel like can't. And when people come to us for counseling, we're expected to have the answers and tell them what to do.
Mm.
And if we don't, even though that's not an effective way to counsel, they leave.
There's not a lot of other opportunities either. Like in some of the places that you've worked, like when you just got back from India, you were like, well, was there one counselor that all the churches used?
Yeah, so in my class I asked, so we're sitting there, we're doing like counseling techniques. It's basically like how, like the skills of like reflective listening and developing rapport and doing different mm-hmm. things. And I looked at the class and I said, like, what do you guys do when there's issues? And they kind of said unanimously, one person said it and then everyone agreed. They're like, we send it to this woman. And she's sitting in my class.
And it was about six different churches, and they all send to
the same lady.
The same lady.
She's the Jedi.
And she is a licensed psychiatrist, but she sees it. Psychiatry in India is just very different. Actually, medicine in India is very different. So she sees, I want to say it was like 200 to 300 people a week.
Whoa.
So she's like 3 to 5 minutes, like writing out scripts.
That's but not counseling.
It's not counseling. She was in my class, and she's now in our full program because she didn't learn counseling techniques and skills.
She's just medicating people.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that was the only option. It wasn't like, oh, see a counselor. It's like, no, that's if you want to see a counselor, she falls into that category. She falls into the psychiatry category. That's one.
And it's partly like they wanted a Christian person. And India is like 97% or more non-Christian.
Yeah,
I haven't looked that up recently, but it's at least 97 last
time. It's crazy. Yeah.
And so
I know there are pockets of Christianity where they're strong, but there's,
So
everything else.
It's a city of 34 million people. Like that is, how many Chicago's is that? I think it's like 9 Chicago's or something like that.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievably huge. And they're like, we have one person that we send them to. And it just, it blows my mind. And so we're there trying to change that and raise up people within the church.
So I'm feeling incredibly guilty right now. And I'll tell you, it just this maybe I am ADD. You confess to your ADD.
Tell me more about the guilt and the ADD.
Yes. So every time I'm with you guys, and this is our whole staff, and this is for our podcast family, it's like Brandon and Gabe are so tabernacle DNA right down to the ground. And I probably said that to you today when I hugged both your necks and I'm like, welcome home, meaning welcome home to the tabernacle. I have this little lead pastor, little motive that I have to say out loud. I would do anything to have you guys on our staff team. Just seriously, both of you, whatever you want to do. I don't care if you want to do young adult. Yeah, we just listen. Yeah. We are your fallback plan. Just so you know, we're your fallback plan. But the guilt is, this is also classic. You know, you find people that you love and you love everything about them, their personalities, the way they communicate, what they laugh at, and some of the stuff we won't put on the podcast that we laugh at. But the guilt is, what a gift. And I'm not just saying this because it's here and it's being recorded. What a gift you guys are to those people. What a gift you are, not just to Chiang Mai, but to Asia. And so, you know, for hundreds of years, Americans have been guilty of this. We saw this when my parents were in Haiti. Is the best and the brightest Haitians would come over here to get an education, and then they'd stay because there were little pockets of places to do ministry in the States. And to be honest, it was better. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit in your life is what I'm trying to say. We are your fallback plan, but I don't want to rob by, you know, my little, hey, you know, Northern Michigan is kind of cool. You know, we'll save that for retirement years or whenever as the Lord leads. But that is just the fruit is so necessary because all of those, you know, it's easy when you like if you told a story of one individual, you know, people lean in. When you start talking about that being three Chicagos, or what was it, six Chicagos?
I think it's like 34 million.
Yeah. When
I think Chicago is what, like 3 million?
Something like
two,
that.
2 or 3?
Yeah.
In the proper area?
And that's not even counting all the suburbs. Mm-hmm. But when we start thinking of larger numbers, it's like, how can we possibly make a difference? And it's easy just to kind of dismiss that. But every one of those millions matter.
Yeah.
Well, those people matter. And their trauma matters.
That whole framework is already in place. That's what was so neat about when we signed on to do this. I didn't want to do something that was like, okay, we're seeking out a need that we as this white American family think is a need, and then we're just going to fill that need. It's like, and then how is that going to stand when you leave? And was that even a need? You know what I mean?
Yep.
We wanted to plug into something that was initiated by local people, was already doing some good, already had some rapport, just breathing life into something that was kind of pre-existing and successful. And so in coming alongside ABTS, it was a successful program. It has programs for master's degrees that the students were loving and learning from and producing fruit in their own churches and their own ministries. Many of them were like, we need counseling expertise. We need something because we're looked at as this pastor. And we have all these expectations and we know it, but we weren't necessarily even ever trained to be that. Like here, you're like, I was trained to do this type of pastoring and I was trained to do this type of pastoring perhaps, or I at least had the opportunity to be poured into in different ways, in different capacities. Not the case. Like maybe they just became a Christian and then the rest of the village weren't believers. And all of a sudden this person is, and now they're the pastor. And it's like, okay, but now we're all experiencing this whatever, this substance abuse, or we're having addiction, we're having all these different things. And why is that person more capable? Well, they have the Holy Spirit, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they also don't, they might not have any theological training. Mm. And so just to give them resources to be like, we want you to be able to be effective. We want you to not be burnt out. We want you to feel like you're loving your people well by having knowledge and being able to give them something solid.
Mm.
So yeah. I think that leads into the second thing of like ABTS asking for the students at ABTS asking for counseling classes. And instead of just providing one counseling class here and there that fills up to capacity and then other students can't take it, now providing an actual track, which is not a minor. I keep calling it a minor, but it's an emphasis mm-hmm. in counseling so that they can take a number of different classes for at this mm-hmm. given time and actually have a little bit of meat there to use in their ministry context.
Yeah.
So that was the second goal.
So I'll say we love Northern Michigan. Yeah. Our family up here.
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So recruit away, because this is some of the most beautiful places on earth. It's gorgeous up here. Wonderful people. Tabs. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
We do we love us some West Michigan. Cool. I'll say
we
it.
We really do. Honestly, we've mm-hmm. said Praise many God. Times that apart, like we saw family, but boy, the time up here with you guys last time was just a highlight of mm-hmm. our entire trip.
Awesome.
We yeah. loved it.
Good.
Driving up here, we were
that
so excited.
That means my master plan. No, I already confessed it. It's we're leaving the Lord's hands. Yeah.
But we
yeah.
are also, I do think we love what we're doing. And the mm-hmm. fact that, so the short-term goal was to provide counseling. The medium-term goal was to add an emphasis to what's called the MRE, Master of Religious mm-hmm. Education. So they get four courses in counseling. But our long-term plan was to launch a full master's program in Christian counseling, something that is just... is we don't know of any program that's available across Asia. There's one that I know of, maybe two, but you have to move to that particular area, and it's in the Philippines, which is already a Christian nation. So we're doing it, and we actually pitched across or to Cornerstone, but it was Friday, so not that long ago. We gave them our formal proposal.
The full program.
For the master's program, and it seems like it's good to go. We are nice. We have to walk through the accreditation.
What is the length of time that it would take to roll that out?
So we were hoping for this year by the end, or early next year. So Got we it. Have to choose our location. Right now, we're only going to launch in one spot for the first inaugural kind of group, because we have to bring in professors, and it's like
you have
10
to
new,
fill yeah the entire course
we've
load.
Never taught.
Instead of just four classes now, which he's been teaching heavily, but it's like for a whole course load, you can't necessarily,
I do not want them
You're
just
great,
to have my
but
voice
but
for
no.
their
entire
program.
That's
not realistic.
I failed to even ask this just for, like you're teaching these in English?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
With a translator or without a translator?
So,
yeah.
Good question.
So they're getting an American accredited degree, so their English has to be up to snuff.
Yeah.
And there's some wiggle room in there, I think, as far as like certain locations.
When we go to the refugee camp, for example,
got it.
The English is not quite high enough.
Okay.
But we understand.
But they
However,
proceed anyways.
One of the spots that really wants us to do the full master's program, that's our big fear right now. So it's in a closed area. Mm-hmm. It's one that I can't disclose the name, the thing. They ask like, well, can we have a translator there? And we can't do that because
legally
it's
you
US
can't do that if you're getting a U.S. accredited degree.
Right.
So,
right.
yeah.
And the other question I failed to ask is how many of you are there from ABTS Cornerstone?
Yeah, so right now full time in Chiang Mai, we probably have like seven faculty, I think.
Nice.
And then we have Thai staff, Filipino staff, Indian staff, like people
Got
around
it.
From the different places.
So you're part of a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have that whole team vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so the long-term goal right now, you talked about the initial, the mid, and the long.
Yep.
Right now, it's to get the full master's program laid out, opportunity in Southeast Asia, which is massive.
Massive.
Which
I don't
should be
think
the only one that
doing.
Exists.
I mean, I'm not the expert missiologically here, but that is just massive. Good job, Cornerstone.
Yeah, Cornerstone's
yeah,
doing
come
it.
On. What Truly. Are they doing? Now they got their marketing together, for sure.
They do, but I don't. I
Not
don't
on
think
the ABTS
they really talk
thing.
About.
Yeah,
no, they
yeah.
we, they forget about us. So we kind of are like, more loosely affiliated
and
as opposed
on.
Than
yeah.
the other ones.
We're that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. It's all kingdom.
We are under their accreditation, and they are very generous in that.
So as far as the work, you would say right now that's what you're most excited about is the rolling out of the full master's program.
I mean,
or
so
do you have other
one.
Goals in mind?
Man, that's the big one that
is going to take up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really excited. Like the way that we're rolling it out, I think is pretty unique. And some of the things we can do in Asia that we can't do in the U.S. Because of
licensing and
licensure and like just things that as I talk to program directors, they're like, I would love to do that, but I can't. Like mandating counseling for the students.
Right.
I have a person who I spoke with who heads up a master's program in counseling, and they're like, I could never do that. If we ask our students to buy a book, they're like,
yeah,
we can't afford.
And it's like the things that you can and can't say, where you're like, oh no, I can't step on any toes here. I can't do this. I can't say that. You don't have that. You don't have the red tape. You don't have the things that you're...
You can just get after it.
You can just say.
Nice. Yeah,
you can just be pretty open in the counseling room.
So we're trying very hard to shape. The when we talk about fruit, the number one thing for me is not like, oh, they went and they applied it in ministry. To me, it's watching these students almost unanimously apply it to their own lives, their own marriages, to their own relationships with their kids, but their own relationship with the Lord. Like they are applying and doing
Oh, that's
work.
Huge. That's
Most
huge.
Of them have never done it.
So there's this, I don't know if there's statistics on this, and we don't have to go too far down this bunny trail, but, you know, I've seen people in 20 years that I've been here that counseling really, God used their counselor in a massive way, even if it wasn't a licensed counselor, even if it was just a spiritual director or a pastor or, you know, something like that. But so God uses it, and then they're so grateful. They're like, you know what? I'm going to become a counselor.
Mm.
And then they get a counseling degree. But there's some areas of their life where they're still really jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so not that a counselor has it all has to have it all together. You talk about how pastors feel that thing. But there's a lot of people that are counselors that maybe probably should still be in counseling, you know, type 100%. Of deal. So I get some of the red tape stuff that you're talking about, which is necessary. But it just – trauma is trauma is trauma. But it is in that part of the world. Like even some of the countries you have named, the stuff that they're experiencing, I'm glad you don't have the red tape.
Yeah.
Because then it's like just, I mean, it's like getting food to hungry people.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Are we really worried that it was one day past the expiration?
Or your boat is sinking. Like bail it out.
Just bail it out.
Bail it out.
Well, is this the proper
Is this the right
method?
Instrument?
Yeah, no.
Get
just
the water
bail.
Out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's part of the cool stuff. We need to circle back to these girls. Your little girls, right? I remember one of the neat, because typically we try to stay in touch, especially we do this thing every fall that's called the Big Give. And so if you're out there to have family, it's going to happen again. It does every year. But one of the needs was to get them in school. And you guys have to pay for school.
Yeah.
I mean,
we just paid
to
yesterday.
Get them in the right one.
Just paid yesterday.
Yeah. So are they in school? Is that still a need? Are we good to go? Because I remember talking to our finance director and just saying, hey, should you know, should we just contact the school and be a part of trying to make that happen? And you know, Martin's in charge of all the details, but are they in a school right now?
Yes. Well, no.
yes, no.
It's technically the
Not
end of
here.
Her first grade year. We pulled her out the second semester so that we could come here because in the future, she's going to start attending Grace International School, which is the big.
I've been there.
You've been to Grace
twice.
You know, he's mentioned that.
Two spiritual emphasis weeks for the high school. I love that place.
Can you come back, please?
Yes. The answer is always yes.
Yes.
I always say yes to missionary kids.
Addie's going to be there next year.
Just fly me there. I'll do the spiritual emphasis week.
We got to show you around Chiang Mai.
Oh, if I'm so.
Motorbikes.
All right, we got friends.
Samong Loop.
Yeah, motorbikes on
elephants.
Yeah. So she's going to Grace International.
She will be. She hasn't attended yet. She'll be there her second grade year. We'll have to do regular summers. And so that's why we took this season to come here because she's in a smaller, more neighborhood school now. And we're like, okay, we have flexibility. We won't have this again.
Right.
Well, it'll be summers from here on out. So that's part of that.
And that's Noelle.
Addie.
No, that's Addie.
So that's our oldest Addie.
Yeah.
Noelle is just turned five. She's going to go into kindergarten at the small neighborhood school this coming year. It only goes up to second grade.
Cool.
So,
and it's an English-speaking school?
English-speaking,
but
it's like
15 kids
super
and probably like seven nationalities.
Yeah, there's like seven countries at this tiny school.
Addie's friend is Thai, and it was Chinese before that. And then
we love it. Yeah. We love it. We love the teacher. He's an American guy. There's a British teacher, a Thai teacher, an American teacher.
I love it.
We adore it. It's like what I would do, and I'm a teacher by heart, but like if I had like endless, boundless energy and like could implement all the things I want to do. Like all my Pinterest boards of teaching stuff, like thrown up into one place, but actually happening like consecutively. And they're just amazing. They're amazing
teachers. She just threw up Pinterest. Is there like a Pinterest like for our Pinterest people, can they follow you on Pin?
Oh no,
do you follow people? You don't follow people?
How does that work? Can I haven't done it in a long time.
Got it.
Pinterest, it should make a comeback. No, yeah, I loved Pinterest.
Maybe it'll make a comeback. So the kids are in school.
Yes.
And you
Ellie
said,
will be.
You yeah. said your daughters also think that they can speak Thai.
They think they are Thai.
Our youngest truly believes that she is Thai. And she doesn't. Yeah, she's like the little white girl with blonde hair and can't speak Thai to save her life.
But people ask, like, are you American? Like Thai people. And she's like, no.
Oh, really?
She's like, no, I'm Thai.
Well, they're like, I loved how you said that they say ice cream because you made a rule, if I get this right, that if they can order it in Thai, they can have it. And so
they're allowed to order.
Our oldest is, she's on it with that
stuff. Oh, yeah.
She's on it.
They can have whatever dessert as long as they can order it. And she... Our oldest is so shy that, like, you know, someone will come to the table and she's like,
yeah.
And I'm like, speak. So with the words and the normal volume. So anyway, so I was like, you have to say it in Thai legibly. I cannot help you in any way. And if you can order it successfully, you can have it. And if you can't,
it's okay.
Yeah, we'll try again next time. Like, but legitimately, I'm not helping you. So she learned she wanted candied guava. So she learned how to say it. I would like one bag of candied guava, please.
How would you say that?
Yeah, how would you say that?
Oh. Ao,
I put you on the spot.
Phrang boi nung tung.
Phrang boi nung
tung. Phrang boi nung tung. I think. I think is right. And then she had to pay for it and get the change.
For all those listening, you can fact check us.
Yeah.
You guys do a fact checking at the end of the podcast.
Google Translate. Yeah. I don't even know how to spell what she just said. What just came out of her mouth.
It's not pretty. Yeah. I don't know if it was right. Yeah. But she said it. I like watched her. She went up there, did it herself, said it, got the thing. And then Ellie, our youngest, is like, oh, I want ice cream. And I was like, cool, good for you. I don't know how to say ice cream. So you're going to have to ask the 7-Eleven guy because that's where you get ice cream.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, ice cream. I was like, that is cheating. She's like, okay, ice cream.
So in Thai, it's ice cream.
Ice cream.
Oh, yeah. And ice cream. She loves, if you ask her to speak Thai, if she was here right now, she'd be like, strawberry.
There's like English, like Thai-ized words that are all the berries because they don't come from there. So like strawberry, blueberry.
They both will take Thai in school. Yeah. But we don't want them to learn from us because it is.
Well, there's something, having grown up as a missionary kid that, you know, people have asked me over the years preparing to go to the mission field, hey, John, in your experience as an MK, you know, the same things that you shared. Mm. We're a little bit nervous for taking our kids. Yeah. They're younger, you know, they're going to miss out. Yes, they're going to miss out on some things.
For sure.
But what God will fill it in with is so many opportunities.
Yes.
Snorkeling in Manila, even if you did break down and cry and didn't see the great white whale, Moby Dick, you know. And learning another language. Yeah. And I remember what you just described with your oldest. It's like, no, I'm not American. I mean,
it
was only 10 years ago that I stopped saying, when people say, where are you from? And I would always say, well, that's a hard, you know, it's a hard question to answer, but I would say Port-au-Prince. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that pride
that
in
solidarity.
This is where I'm at.
Well, those are your people. And you're like, these are my snacks. This is my Friday night activity. This is my movie. Like,
and I'm sure you're seeing now all the stuff. I mean, they're enjoying all the stuff they can't get in Thailand.
Yeah.
But there's a part of you that's like, oh, I kind of really miss Thailand. Uh-huh. But the other thing that'll pay off with the language is they have the ability to, you know, Gabe, you had said you're a mimic, and so am I. But they're going to pick up things at that young age regarding the accent that they can't even explain that mom and dad learning it in their 30s
cannot do.
Yeah. Just can't do. So even to this, you know, I left Haiti when I was 14 years old. When I go back now, I'll speak Creole, and people, you know, Haitians will listen to me and they'll say, you know, when I close my eyes, you're black. Mm. And when I open my eyes.
Are you a black teenager too?
Yeah.
You speak kind of like that.
My language is still at a teenager level, like a 14-year-old, but your accent is legit. Meanwhile, you know, there's other white faces speaking this language that have much better vocabulary because they studied it and I just picked it up on the streets.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, they still
But all the rungs of the ladder are white until you get to that. And you're like, oh, mine aren't.
So they're saying bonjour, como.
Yeah.
I hear a little
accent.
Alabama in there.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
We
I'm
got
so
a friend
who's kids,
who's from South. He was born and raised. I don't know if he was born. He spent his whole childhood in Southern Thailand, and now he's in the North with us, where he was. And when he'd speak, he sounds like a Southern teenager because that's where he went to high school.
Yeah.
And they're like the
slang. There's different accents in Thailand.
Oh yes,
and they can pick up that he's a teenager
because all the words, all the slang, and stuff.
Oh, that's crazy. It's like No one would say that up here.
Yes.
I'm Gen X forever.
Yeah, exactly.
But times have changed. He posts online and now everyone's like, it's AI, it's this and that. He's not really speaking
He's
Thai.
Not a real person.
Yeah. No, this is legit.
This is legit who I am.
Yes.
So how long are you here before you have to go back?
Maybe.
Or get to go
two
back,
and a half weeks ish.
So two and a half weeks, you're back on
the plane.
We're
trying to extend a little bit. We're going to see my dad.
We'll see.
Little shout out on the podcast here. He just got inducted into the Michigan Aviation Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
Yeah, we didn't know that was happening. And
we just found out.
May 18th.
So. 3 days after we're scheduled to leave.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you're just trying to stay for that.
We would like to.
We're going
to
see if we can do it. And there's going to be a lot of family there. We'd love to see everybody. So
are you on a stay a year, come back for a break, or do you just keep that open?
About a year and a half is our rhythm.
Well, next, if we come back in the summer, it'll be a little.
Yeah, a year and 3 months.
A year and some odd. Yeah, because I think it'll have to be summers. Because, I mean, 2 years or 1 year.
Grace International School.
Well, I think we're going to probably try to stick with a year just to, I mean, visit my mom, visit family. His parents typically will come and visit for a little while, so we do get to see them. But just to get to see my mom and have the girls be back here to some extent.
Right.
To where this isn't totally foreign and strange to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Third culture kids is, I was trying to remember what they called us.
The term.
Yeah.
Third culture kids.
Yep.
Because you're not in this culture, you're not in that culture.
Yeah.
You got your own weird third culture.
And I know it gets harder as they get older too. Like we have a lot of friends who come back and they're young kids are like, yeah, let's go back. It's exciting. And we want the food. We want grandparents. But the older kids are like, no, my friends aren't here. I don't know anything about this culture. I don't quite fit in. My jokes don't fit in. I don't mesh.
Yeah.
And we're like, ugh, that's probably going to happen to some extent. And that's normal. Right. And that we feel that way. We just know how to play both roles because we've lived in them. But for the kids, I'm like, well, as long as they're still super psyched to come home, well, let's do it. Let's do it yearly, you know, and
Well, that's a huge gift. You know, we were joking about Grace International School and, you know, there's certain events I'll never say no to. Men's events, missionary kids events, college events. And so the weeks I got to spend there, you know, there were so many students that it's like, oh, that was me when I was 12, 13, 14, you know, 15, you know. And they even have some of the same sayings. Like MKs don't say goodbye. They say see you later. Yeah, because you never know.
Yeah.
You know, we might be home and then you guys leave and we come back and you may be in my – and it was like, wow, I'm 50 years old and they're saying the same things. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Felt like it did my tour. So – How can our Tabernacle family be praying for you as you go back? Because we do have some faithful people. They pray for our missionaries. They pray for people they haven't even met. Mm-hmm. And so, like, just what are some specific things or one big thing, whatever, that we can support you that way?
I think a number of things. So on the family front, I'll let you probably speak to it, but it's I can speak to it too. I think the girls starting school, both of them, Addie going to Grace is going to be a big thing for her. She's typically not a big crowd
girl.
She's
been a big fish in a teeny tiny pond and she's about to be a tiny fish again.
Yeah.
So.
And so it's intimidating to her. And then our youngest hates learning is what she says.
Yes.
I hate learning.
I love her.
She is so fun and she is the life of the party.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'm going to drop her off with Mr. Nick, the teacher, who's a good friend of ours, and be like, okay, good luck, bye.
Have fun. So before the podcast, we were talking about memes and the horrible, you know, getting caught in reels on,
because
I'm on the Instagram now. And I've seen multiple ones where they go, me and my first child. And
I imagine
it's you. And it's this rule following. And then it goes, my second child. And it's the Joker from Batman.
Oh,
and it's like every second child.
She's wild.
So,
we call her Feral sometimes.
Oh, she's a feral cat.
She's so funny and strange.
Yeah. Incredible.
So the girls starting school.
The girls starting
both
school.
In their environment.
Yes.
And then I think on a personal front and ministry front, like I'll be real, like I think we long for partnership. It can be lonely at times. We have tons of friends around, but
everybody's
as far as
doing
for me,
different stuff.
Yes, very different things. So for me, I'd love to hire someone to help teach some of these courses, to help even the decisions. Like it's weird when you start working really isolated in terms of like decision making with things, how often you're like, oh, I just want to ask someone, like, what do you think about this? I'd love some feedback. And so I do that with a lot of friends that I went to seminary with. Friends who are counselors, friends who are pastors.
Community, man. Yeah,
but they're all like outside of it. I'd love to have someone that is in the trenches with us. And so we've got some prospects for that. We almost hired somebody
It's good. As a guy actually discipled, and then he spurned us for the other ministry down the street. So he's probably moving to Chiang Mai, but not to work with us. No. But yeah, it's one of those things where we'd love some companionship. Mm-hmm. I think in the workplace, I have guys who I teach with that I'll teach, but they teach different things.
Very different stuff.
You know, I'll ask a counseling question. My buddy's like, I have to help people understand the Trinity. Like you got your, we all have our own cross to carry.
I still don't have that one down.
So I get it. But yeah. None of them have like much training in this area. And so
Now I'm asking this question. Mm-hmm. You guys have not brought this up. But if someone in our podcast family wanted to support you financially, where would they go? Like, where would they start? If they're like, you know what, this is what I give to my church, but we have a lot of people that give over and above and they want to give to missionaries and be connected that way. Is that a possibility?
It is absolutely a possibility. Thank you for asking. Yeah. It is a possibility. We actually just transitioned platforms. We didn't realize but our sending agency had to do some switches around. And so we've had a number of people that weren't able to make that or didn't make that migration over. So
gotcha.
Can we put like a link in the show notes?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So absolutely. We have a website, but the website is one that I don't know if we're going to keep because we're going into closed countries now.
Got it.
We just opened up a cohort in the Middle East for the first time ever. It's not reaching Middle Easterners as much. It's really reaching the Asians who are there working as migrant workers. So
right.
I'm not too worried about that, but then we have some closed countries that we're looking in. So I'll put the link because it's like take me a minute to
Perfect.
Read the whole thing.
No,
to
that's
you.
And I should have mentioned something beforehand, but this is near and dear to our hearts. Mm-hmm. We don't want that to ever be a distraction because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, things changed in missions in the last 40 or 50 years where it used to be someone sent you out and mm-hmm. you never had to worry about that stuff. And now you have to raise support and it's, and teach all year round and mm-hmm. deal with life overseas, trying to find schools, all the things. So Tab Family, we will put a link right in the show notes that you can either cut and paste or you can link right on it where you can support Brandon and Gabe personally. And I encourage you to do so because we believe in what you guys are doing and it's huge. So is there anything else you guys just want to throw out just as far as an update? We could go for 4 hours.
We could.
If we wanted to. I don't even know.
Yeah, I felt a little sadness when you started to wrap it up.
No,
get it too.
Well, you have a lunch and Tim will be down. You're going to lunch with Tim and Heidi and it's going to be awesome because they counsel here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Too many counselors at one table. My mind would implode.
Oh, I can't wait. I've chatted with them a little bit. But
they're
do it in
awesome.
Person
you're going
to
love them. Yeah. Heidi's a licensed counselor. Tim has got the license of life. 32 years sober.
Life.
He's in the Drugs and Alcohol Hall of Fame and sober 32 years. So he's got all the, you know, whatever. He can decorate his house with the coins. So, I'll give you guys a last word.
Last word. I guess I'd say thank you, guys. You don't know what a gift it is to come to a place where it does feel like family and where we feel supported and prayed for and great questions are asked and engagement and genuine interest in what we do. We're on the other side of the world. Is it very easy to be forgotten? And I'm not saying that because I feel like other places are doing that. But it's very easy. And in speaking with a lot of people who do what we do, because that's kind of our community there, it's often where you feel more like the people in America are just like, evaluating, are you spending your money the way that we would spend it to?
Oh my gosh.
It's more like a review board of relationship that we see in a lot of our friends' partnerships and stuff. And they're like, what do you have to do when you go back? Do you have to like drive all over America and do this and that? And we're like, no, our support's pretty much in Michigan. We're really lucky for that. But then when we get together with people, it's busy, but it's not tedious. It's like, oh my gosh, I wish we had more time with each one.
Yeah.
And it's busy because it's every day, but these are our people. These are, that's how we feel about this church.
We don't feel like we have to play the game.
Please never with us.
There are people who are like, Gable posts photos of us like down at the beach.
That makes me happy.
People are like, what are you doing? You're posting those and people are questioning because it's such a beautiful beach.
It's
cheaper
thing.
For us
it's
to do that than for you to go to Grand Rapids.
Like, but it's a whole missionary community thing. And like, we've never... I don't know. I don't play those games. I don't have to be someone, and we'll never do that. We don't do that. Yep. And so even with missionary field, it's like, that's not who we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to post pictures, and we're going to enjoy our life, and we're going to talk about when it's hard and what's hard, and then we're going to, you know what I mean? When things are a blessing and when life is really beautiful in some seasons, like that's also part of it. You know what I mean? Like, Chiang Mai is amazing. Our neighbors are amazing there. We love them. We love so much
we have
about that life.
A Thai grandmother next door that we just love.
So this is completely selfish, but I'm jealous of just the food.
Oh,
I love Thai food.
So good. Yes.
And so
it's
we could
great.
Go whole rabbit hole right there. So,
and
are
for
you on
anyone
Facebook?
Listening, if you guys are. You have questions, or even if you're like just coming to Thailand on a vacation, hit us up. We'd love to meet you, say hi.
We'd love to show you around,
or just help you to
be
maximize.
Careful. You might have some Michigan rednecks on your doorstep. They got white-tailed deer over here.
What do we have? We have tigers.
We don't.
So
yes.
Give me all the social media platforms that you're on.
I
mean, if someone wants to follow you,
we do have an Instagram called We Believe in Asia.
Okay.
And I haven't been super active on it. Lately, I'll do like updates of like, hey, we're coming home.
Right.
Hey, we're doing a event here or whatever. And then just like things to pray for mostly of like,
perfect.
This is a really high. This is a low. Like,
so the best one is Instagram.
Yeah. That's perfect. What I keep up with.
We have a mailing list too that you could get at.
We
do.
You
just
right?
send a message on there that we send our updates to.
Yeah. Right. I check the Instagram
stuff.
We
get them at the church.
Yes.
In ours, but I don't know how many of our individuals.
Yes.
We do one like, I don't know, quarterly. We're not like, it has to be quarterly. It has to be this.
No.
It's like, oh, we haven't had one in a while. Let's
sometimes
talk to people.
That's
let's
actually
tell them
better.
What's up.
That's actually better because the regular stuff in your mailboxes, you're just like, oh, this one again.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like, oh, haven't heard from these people.
Hey, we forgot to talk to you for a while.
Love it.
Here's what's happened. Yeah. So you can get on that. If you do message anything on Instagram, I will typically check it pretty regularly, including if you want to be on the email list or whatever. Just message on there.
Gabe is a great Instagrammer. I am a terrible follower. I just don't post.
He's a lurker. He don't post. He just like observes in the background.
Well,
so.
You could talk to Tim and Heidi about that in a few minutes.
So. All right,
lurker.
You guys are awesome. And hopefully next time you visit, we can get you on the podcast again. But just
we could do that from Chiang Mai probably if you wanted to.
We're trying to figure out how to do that. Our executive producer, Lord Matthew Corey Hughes, is real close to being able to do podcasts where it'll probably be in the middle of the night for you.
Yeah.
Or it'll be 10 o'clock here. It'll be 10 at night there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, I mean, we can flex. But we want that capability because there's a lot of people who've been trying to get on here that we can't.
Yeah.
And that would be cool maybe during
smoke
season.
You'd have to come over and host,
we'll have to
though,
get some
right?
mics.
Yes.
We'll sound so.
Yes. I want to come over and host from
so
there.
Tiny
from the jungle from behind nice our house. Reporting live.
That's perfect. Reporting
you
live.
You know exactly what I'm
All right. Tab family, please share this with somebody. Please go to the link if you're able to support the Hertz. Follow. It's We
Believe in Asia.
We Believe in Asia on the Insta.
And we'll give a link for signing up for our newsletter, too.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. We'll just link them all up.
Links.
Galore. Link them up.
Until next time, this is Brandon, Gabe, Benjamin, and John signing off.